With me in the studio today, I have two really special people, dear friends, Dr. Lillian and Dr. Irinal. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm so excited to have you both here, and I know the listeners are going to be, because we're going to talk about those woman issues, you know, things like menopause and PCOS and hormones and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
And just first of all, tell the listeners what you are. So do you want to start with you?
Well, I'm Lillian Lockett Robertson. I am a board certified obstetrician and gynecologist. I was in private practice for about 22 years, and now I work employed at St. Joseph's Medical Center in Tacoma, Washington. And I've worked as an obstetrician and gynecologist for many, many years, and worked with women from womb to tomb.
Oh, that's beautiful. Womb to tomb. That's amazing.
Yeah,
oh, I'm
excited.
Well, you and I have been friends for years, and you just have are filled with wisdom. You're also a pastor's wife.
Yes.
And so you pastor your church and co-pastor your church and do all kinds of woman training and your community centers.
Yes. You know, my husband pastors and has pastored for the past several years. We've married for about 5 years now. And it's really interesting that for the longest time I've worked in a hospital setting and worked with patients as an outpatient. And so now that's extended to a congregation and to a community as well. So it's actually enabled me to broaden my scope in terms of, you know, how I see women and treat them through the community and through the congregation. And it's really, really been good. The blessing has come to me from meeting you, actually, because,
I grew up
in a home that's with, you know, Christian mother and father and a very godly home, and just happened to go to medical school. So I grew up with
just happened to go to medical school. That's a big deal. Wow.
This whole notion of faith, and I you know, it was almost like it was mutually exclusive, and you either had faith or you went to the doctor, and so they didn't coexist.
They didn't coexist, which is crazy, isn't it?
Your ministry has been a platform to really embrace both aspects that I've those industries that I've come to know and work in. And so I'm really grateful for meeting you and to get exposed to the ministry that God has given you.
Thank you. I'm grateful in how
I practice medicine.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you. I'm so honored. And Irinal?
Yes, I'm Irinal Stancho. I'm an endocrinologist. I have been practicing internal medicine since 1991. And in the last 10 years, I specialize in endocrinology. I'm employed an outpatient, mostly outpatient practice in endocrinology. I'm a mother of two girls.
Please.
And again, during my struggle with breast cancer, I was exposed to your books because I need to figure out, again, I knew all the medical stuff, but I didn't get all my answers there. So I needed to understand what's going on and how can I help myself in this process. So that's how we came in contact, and I was blessed by your ministry.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, I'm just so honored because both of you are just so highly qualified and fulfilling such phenomenally important roles in people's lives, helping them to manage their health. And for you to see the, you know, it's been my dream to get physicians to see the importance of mind. You know, and that's why I'm so pleased to have to see what you're doing, and I'm so excited. Okay, so should we talk about menopause first, or should we talk about I want to talk about menopause, PCOS, and a whole lot of things, and sort of the bit about the birth, prenatal,
hormones. Let's start with the birth, and then go to menopause.
That's probably,
we'll just work our way through the whole process.
Yeah.
You know, birth, of course, it's been wonderful being an obstetrician for so many years and to work with women. With having healthy births and healthy deliveries. But I always found that the way that we would help the ladies have a healthy delivery would be to start with them having a healthy prenatal care and their mindset and their perspective towards really seeing the doctor, being compliant with their visits, taking their vitamins, eating right, and having the right mindset and the right attitude about conception, basically transferred into them having a healthy delivery experience. And
so all that that mind aspect is a very vital component of successful pregnancy and birth. And
yes, Caroline, the mind is so important in terms of how women do through pregnancy. You know, and sometimes women will have stress during pregnancy and increases their risk of hyperemesis gravidarum. We learned that, that's excess nausea and vomiting with pregnancy.
Yes.
We see those ladies that have that particular condition, and we work with them with changing their diet and eating small, frequent portions. And sometimes we have to add some anti-emetic, things like Zofran and family medicines to keep them from vomiting so that the nutrients can get to the baby. But when we really roll back what the problem is, almost invariably there's some stress. There's an issue with a spouse, the father of the baby, so on and so forth. So we have to almost always look at those factors while we're treating them. So the mind,
is always
connection is so important, particularly as early as pregnancy.
That's incredible.
But I want you to add to that, because I see pregnant ladies with thyroid conditions, and they never had a thyroid condition before. That's one category. Yes. So, and they do have excessive vomiting, and the beta HCG goes up, and excessive vomiting, and it links to the some inflammation in the thyroid. A lot of time we end up just observing them.
Yeah.
Because you don't want, they think they're hyperthyroid, like too much thyroid hormone. But actually, if it's just mildly elevated in a pregnancy, it's not dangerous. So we choose not to give medications. On the other side, they can have too little thyroid hormone. So that's very important for the development, the intellectual development of the baby.
That's the first thing we look for. When these ladies come on with extreme nausea, extreme vomiting, weight loss, and we first look obviously for the thyroid levels to make sure those are good, and then we work from there. So it's very, very important to have
I'm observing also, as you mentioned, there are some family issues, some stressors, some trauma, some things that were not dealt with. So that gets translated into a physical condition in a lot of circumstances.
That's amazing. Yeah. So that connection, you can't avoid the mind-brain connection. Thank goodness we have medicine to treat it, but medicine's not going to fix the mind. And do you both find that that's an issue with your patients, that
absolutely.
They want you to fix my mind with my medicine, fix the stress with my medicine?
Yeah, give me a pill, fix me, need to, I can go back to everything I did before.
Without doing any work, just pop the tablets,
That's the beauty of your teaching. It really puts the onus back onto the patient, that the doctor's here to fix everything. There's no one-stop fix.
No.
That you have the power to think differently, to respond differently, and to make a difference in your overall health based on how you think.
Isn't that so incredible? Receive it? Do you find your patients receive this, or is it quite a challenge to get them to take that responsibility?
I find it's quite a challenge a lot of times. There are definitely that category of patients that they want to be involved and they want to partner with you. And actually, the illness is easy to control. They get better. Yeah. They are very compliant, as we say. Yeah. But it's definitely that category of patient that they want you to do everything, you to know what they're taking at home. And I say, hey, I'm not at your house. I don't have a way to see what you're doing. You need to tell me.
Yes.
They want you to remind everything, about taking the appointment, having appointments, taking the medications. It's like no responsibility. They need to be our partners. And sometimes I say, I cannot do this alone.
You need to
help me. So we need to empower them. And it's a lot of literature in medicine empowering the patient
to take responsibility.
Absolutely. And some, it's a little more work than in other cases.
Yeah.
I'm surprised sometimes they no-show for the first appointment. It's like, how interested were you in that first appointment if you missed it? And not because you're in the hospital or something, but just because I forgot. It's like, where's that responsibility?
Yeah.
So that patient, it's already, we're not going to put too much work in to develop, more of the practical mind to change their minds.
That's incredible. So you're saying that what you're both saying is that they're kind of expecting you to remind them of the basic stuff, like come to the appointment, to take the medicine correctly, but in addition to that, they want you to also fix all the other issues. So to get them to take responsibility for core issues that could be the causative factors of what they're going through is something that's very difficult.
Right.
So let's lead into things like PCOS, because I get so many questions about that, and obviously I can't answer those. I can just answer from a mind perspective how to manage it. So advice could you...
Polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Yes.
It's not a disease. It's a syndrome.
Exactly.
In the basic way we...
Can you say that again?
Polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's not a disease. It's a syndrome.
Very interesting.
Basically, what we usually will find, ladies that have very few menstruations, oligo menorrhea and or an ovulation where they don't ovulate. And usually we diagnose it if they have less than 4 to 6 periods a year.
Okay.
In addition to that, these ladies sometimes will have hyperandrianism, which means that they may have mustache growth or, you know, sideburns or deepening of the voice in some instances, but there's excessive levels of the male hormone, testosterone. And the third way, according to the Rotterdam studies, is that on ultrasound, we can literally see small follicular cysts on the ovaries.
Okay.
And so that's where the polycystic ovarian syndrome comes from.
So
if you have two of those things, then generally you get the diagnosis of polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Okay. All right.
As a gynecologist, we tend to see it in our young ladies because sometimes their periods are delayed. The onset of starting their periods are delayed. Or we will often see it when they're looking to get pregnant going through their fertility years.
They can't
because they're not ovulating.
Yeah.
And or we see sometimes signs and symptoms of, you know, male patterns of balding or hair growth in certain places that would be more related to androgen excess.
Yes.
And so the gynecologist sometimes, because we're the first doctor that most young women will see,
we see it early on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you work quite closely with endocrinologists about the...
Yeah, I do see them. And again, in endocrine world, you know, there are a lot of genetic defects in children, infants. You know, we have a condition called congenital adrenal hyperplasia that is diagnosed in infancy. But in late onset of the genetic disease, it's the 21-hydroxylase deficiency. It's an enzyme. You know, they don't have those problems as infants, so they come for the first diagnosis when they're teenagers because of the late periods or you know, intermittent periods, and they have it just 4 times a year. Obesity, you know, hair growth, male development
of the
voice and hair. So we need to differentiate: is this a genetic thing, which still has treatment, but they have problems with fertility, of course, or this is just because of the Mediterranean diet. You know, of course, some genetic background, because, you know, when we live in families, we call that multifactorial. So we kind of inherit the same thing. And the most important thing this people need to understand, it's the risk for diabetes.
Right.
Because, yes, and as you mentioned very well, you may have, you know, 2 out of 3. Mm-hmm. And yes, periods, we need them regular in order for our bodies to function regular. Mm-hmm. But also the risk for diabetes. A lot of these patients are pre-diabetic or very close to diabetes. Even if they become pregnant, you know, they may have gestational diabetes. Yeah. So this is the important and, you know, very important to work on it to prevent cardiovascular damage.
Wow. You know, also, Caroline,
that's amazing.
One of the things too, as when you talk, Dr. Arnell, about pre-diabetes, we look at the insulin level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, insulin is the hormone that's made by the pancreas. And when the insulin level is high, it predisposes these ladies to having all of this excess androgen release also.
Yeah.
And then their periods are irregular, number one, and then they gain a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the insulin is not functioning, that means if you're eating the modern American diet, and we refer back to thinking it yourself smart, which was so helpful and when we started to work with these ladies as an outpatient. When you eat the modern American diet and there's excess glucose stimulation, these insulin hormones are very, very high, but the tissue does not respond.
No.
And so where you
cells
have all
aren't letting it in.
Cells
are
where the cell block.
The cell
so
block.
The insulin
can't get into the cell.
And the insulin needs
ladies,
to get in order to carry, you know, to,
right.
to do the
so
work
these,
of the cell.
These young ladies, these young girls actually are functional diabetics.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the one thing that we see with this polycystic ovarian syndrome. We see a lot of high risk for type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, and you know, the high insulin levels actually stimulate the androgen, the male hormone. That's why they develop extra hair. Now, sometimes they don't have a lot of hair. That's why we call it syndrome and not a disease. You know, maybe they have more acne.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had patients with a lot of acne and no hair, like excessive hair, but still too few periods. So, and obesity is more that what I'm saying.
Weight gain that's quite
easily
gaining weight.
But these when you have these polycystic ovaries, these ovaries are making, these small follicles mm-hmm. in the ovaries are making thicker cells and yes. cells that are excreting.
That's where the testosterone comes from.
From
the ovarian source, because you have testosterone from adrenal glands, and you know, unless you have an adrenal tumor, you know, you're not going to have too much, but you have too much testosterone from the ovaries.
From the ovaries. Yeah, that sounds crazy,
so
doesn't
real,
it? The ovaries.
It's real.
Difficulty one to diagnose hormones. And manage the hormones. So how do you manage it then? What is the best way?
Well, you know, what we start with our young ladies, we first try to work with them when they're, a lot of them we will see as teenagers.
Yeah.
And so we start with
so 16,
making sure
17.
Their lifestyle changes.
Yeah.
Making
exercise.
Sure they're eating properly. Making sure they're staying away from a lot of the modern American diets, the fast foods, and that they're exercising. Exercise is mm-hmm. very, very important. Mm-hmm. So we try to get the lifestyle change. And we talk to them and helping them to understand this is not a disease.
Mm-hmm.
You will be able to have children. Your fertility years, you know, there may be some challenges, but you can get pregnant mm-hmm. if that's what you desire at a later time. But lifestyle change is the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to work, and you can speak more to this, Erinelle, in terms of balancing the hormones, because what's happening here is our estrogen levels may get a little bit higher than what they should at certain times, but because they're not making estrogen properly, you know, it's very, very low. They're not ovulating. And so you need a burst of, you know, luteinizing hormones at a certain time of the month to make sure these girls are having periods, and so it keeps the estrogen levels at levels that are abnormal, at the lower level.
So you're doing that through medications, through putting them on different...
One of the mainstays and the first response, particularly as gynecologists, is to give these young ladies small doses of oral contraception.
Yes.
And to the reason for that is to keep the ovaries, you know, from basically going
up and down
in terms of what they're secreting too much male hormone, but it limits the male hormone and it balances out the estrogen. And so what it does sometimes, it gives a certain amount of progesterone, because it's the progesterone that's withdrawn during a certain part of the cycle that will allow these girls to menstruate.
That's incredible.
So we want them to menstruate. We want all of our young girls to menstruate at least 8 times to 10 times a year. To keep the hormones balanced, to keep the acne from forming, to keep them from gaining a lot of weight, and also to just keep the hormonal situation
under control.
So
I use medications too, but because you have to use, you know, oral contraceptives are the first line, but also we do a progesterone withdrawal test to see if they actually, because if they don't have cycles, their uterine mucosa gets thicker.
Yes.
So you don't want abnormal mucosa to do like endometrial hyperplasia that can become a precancerous or, you know, even a uterine cancer issue.
Yeah.
So we want a progesterone withdrawal to see where are they. Some of them, they don't have enough estrogen. Of course, they don't have any mucosa, so they're not going to bleed after that treatment. But if they bleed, it's good. They kind of shed all that thickness of the endometrium,
so then you start
with a birth control and, you know, kind of regulate their cycle so they don't produce too much testosterone, too much insulin. I use also metformin, which is a diabetic medication, but it's a very old medication, still really good, because works on fatty liver. People with diabetes, pre-diabetes, insulin resistant develop this fatty liver, you know, can progress to cirrhosis. So you want to work...
And heart disease.
So that's... But again, it's not like we use spironolactone. Of course, if we don't want them to be pregnant, we want them to be on a birth control. Yes. And spironolactone is contraindicated even 2-3 months before the pregnancy.
Yes.
So that diminishes even more the testosterone level. So we have 3 different medications that work in a different way that we can put them together. But again, if they don't do that exercise, if they don't change the diet,
and if they don't get their mind right through the whole process, that medicine's not going to work for them.
And I noticed a lot of these young people are very stressed about the college, stressed about everything.
Yeah, they've got loans, a lot of them, and boyfriends and girlfriends.
You know, they said, I'm walking. It's like, you're 15, you're 16, you're 20. It's like, walking is for that 80-year-old lady that can't really do much.
You should be
in a sport. I never had someone involved in a sport in high school, in you know, they're sedentary.
So they sit, and that's a big part of today's lifestyle. That's a big problem in today's lifestyle.
Absolutely.
I have to stop you both, and I have to have you both back because we've come to the end of our time, but we're going to have to do another podcast soon to get, because this has been phenomenal information. I know that thousands are going to be helped by what you've just said. I can't thank you both enough. It's incredible.
Thank you.
It's great
to be here.
I need you both back again.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you to both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.